Adventures of Gregory Peccary.
Oh, here comes Gregory, little Gregory Peccary. The nocturnal gregarious wild swine.
A peccary is a little pig with a white collar that usually hangs around between Texas and Paraguay, sometimes ranging as far west as Catalina.
Catalina.
This particular peccary is part of that bold new breed that extinguishes itself by markings which resemble a wide tie directly below the white collar.
If it's wide enough, everyone will know that the tie I'm wearing is a symbol of how nimble my mind will grow.
Swing, suave.
Again. Gregory drives his little red Volkswagen to the ugly part of town where they keep the government buildings.
Wooden.
Gregory Peccary takes the elevator up to the 83rd floor of a grim, gray, evil-looking building with a sign on the front reading, Big Swifty and Associates, Trendmongers. And what might you ask is a trendmonger. Well, a trendmonger is a person who dreams up a trend, like the twist or flower power. And spreads it throughout the land using all the frightening little skills that science has made available. One fateful morning, Gregory Peccary made his way through the Steno Pool.
Hi, Mildred. Hello, Gladys. Wanda.
Yes, from the moment they laid eyes on him, all the girls in the big Swifty Steno Pool knew here was a nocturnal, gregarious wild swine on his way up. A Peccary of destiny, adventure, and romance.
Is there any mail for me?
Nonchalantly into his dinky little office with the desk and the catalog and the very hip water pipe, and proceeded with a vigor and determination known only to piglets of a similarly diminutive proportion to single-handedly invent the calendar. With his eyes rolled heavenward and his little shiny pig hoofs on the desk, Gregory ponders the question of eternity and fractional divisions thereof, as mysterious angelic voices sing to him from a great distance, providing the necessary clues for the construction of his thrilling new trend.
Sunday.
Wow. Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday through Monday. Sunday, Saturday,
and thus
Thus, the calendar in all of its colorful disguises was presented to the board and miserable people everywhere. Gregory issued a memo on it, whereupon the entire contents of the Steno Pool identified with it strenuously and worshipped it as a way of life and took their little pills by it and went back and forth from work by it and paid their rent by it, and before long they were even having birthday parties in the office by it. Because now at last, Gregory Peccary's exciting new invention had made it possible for everyone to find out how old they were.
What hath God wrought?
Unfortunately, there were some people who simply did not wish to know. And that's why, on his way home from the office one night, Gregory was attacked by a rage of henchmen. Making his way through the evening traffic, Gregory notices that the other vehicles which crowd and bump his little red car are all inhabited by slowly aging, very hip young people. They appear to be casting sinister glances toward him through their glinting acid burnout eyeballs, trying to run him off the road or make him bump into something, giving strong evidence of hostile aggression. To elude them, Gregory takes the short forest exit off the expressway. They zoom after him in all manner of cars, trucks, garishly painted buses, and motorcycles. Gregory takes a bumpy trail off the main Short Forest Road, which leads him up the side of a famous and conveniently placed mountain and into a strange cave on the edge of a cliff not far from a little twisted tree with eyes on it. Meanwhile, the enraged hunchmen and hunchwomen rumble through the short forest until, realizing the little swine has escaped, they decide to park their steaming vehicles in a circular pseudo-wagon train formation and have a love-in. Under the influence of a fantastic amount of trendy chemical amusement aid, they proceed to perform lewd acts, rip each other off for small personal possessions, and dance with depraved abandon in the vicinity of a 6-foot pile of transistor radios, each one tuned to a different station. henchmen finally expire from exhaustion, and Gregory, who has viewed the proceedings from a safe distance, breathes a sigh of relief.
Phew.
Only to be terrified once again by a roar of immense laughter, which seems to be rumbling up from the very depths of the cave in which he has hidden his car.
Good Lord, what was that?
Gregory doesn't realize he has concealed himself inside the very mouth of Billy the Mountain. And as you all know, whenever Billy laughs, rocks and boulders hack up, and the air for miles around is filled with tons of dust, forming a series of huge brown clouds.
Who is making those new brown clouds? Who is making those clouds these days? Who is making those new brown clouds? Better ask a philosopher and see what he says.
Gregory stops at a gas station and makes a mysterious phone call.
Is this the old loft with the paint peeling off it by the Chinese police where the dogs roll by? Is this where they keep the philosophers now with the rugs in the dust where the books go to die? How many has got? So you's got quite a few just sitting around there with nothing to do? Well, I just called you up because I wanted to see a philosopher be of assistance to me.
Gregory receives information that the greatest living philosopher known to mankind is currently in possession of the very information in question. And furthermore, this information could be his if only Gregory would attend a special therapeutic group assembly. Classes now forming and available at a special low, low introductory fee. And now here he is, the greatest living philosopher known to mankind, Quentin Robert D. Nameland. Take it away.
Folks, as you can see for yourself, the way this clock over here is behaving, time is of affliction. Now, this might be cause for alarm among a portion of you, as from a certain experience I tend to proclaim, the eons are closing.
To Quentin Robert D. Nameland, greatest living philosopher known to mankind.